Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's the Kevin Sheehan Show. Denton Day sitting in for Kevin here on the Team 980. Some minicamp observations coming up in 20 minutes, but we head out to the phones now. Welcome in our guy Ben Standig of The Athletic, insider here on the Kevin Sheehan Show. You can find him on Twitter at Ben Standig. Ben, it was great to see you on Tuesday. Hope you're doing well. Walk me through what happened with Noah Brown this week. I was only out there on Tuesday. I didn't see what happened when he went down. From your vantage point, what did you see?
Yeah, so he was running sort of this intermediate route. Marcus Mariota threw the ball his way. It was an accurate throw, but kind of a, you know, one where Noah Brown kind of went down to the ground to catch it. And, you know, this is all speculation as to what happened. So, you know, please understand that talking to the audience. But, like, he hits the ground. And, you know, we've all watched sports enough to know when something looks odd. Mm-hmm. And the landing, the conclusion of the play, it seems odd. Like, something was, like, he just didn't land right. And this is, of course, a player who has a lengthy injury history, unfortunately, so maybe your mind goes a little bit to that automatically, but then he doesn't get up right away, and he's laying on the ground for a couple extra seconds. The training staff comes out, he gets to his feet, gingerly walks over to the sideline, but then after a couple of minutes, they put him in a cart and bring him up to the building. Now, I probably, this is a mistake that I made and others as well. It's like when you say somebody gets carted off the field, that has a certain connotation, and it may right. in this case as well. But the field, as you know, is below the building, so it's an uphill walk. Not like, I'm not saying it's a walking up Mount Kilimanjaro, but it's an uphill walk. So I think probably rather than having him do that, they brought him in the cart. But nonetheless, you know, something looked odd, and then when he got to the building, I don't know what it was about. I don't know if it was about frustration or, you know, in the ride, they hit a bump, or I don't know what, but he let out kind of like a pretty, you know, loud scream or, you know, and again, I don't know if it's frustration or anger or pain. So put it all together and it was like, whoa, what's going on? You know, what's the deal here? So we don't have, unfortunately, any real update. Dan Quinn yesterday said that Noah Brown would get an MRI, but he hadn't had one yet. You know, now we don't have to, Dan Quinn doesn't have to talk to us for 40 days. So, you know, works out for them. I imagine if it's something serious, we'll hear about it, you know, in the coming days. And if it's not something serious, you know, we'll probably still get an update at some point. So yeah, unfortunately we may not have a great feel for this. Hopefully it's not a big deal. Mm-hmm. I think Noah Brown's a very key part of this offense. He gives them that sort of power forward, size ability to, you know, to box out receiver or box out defensive backs on, like, you know, a third and short type of play. We know he can get down the field, make plays, draw pass interference penalties. So hopefully he's good to go. But yeah, it's definitely one of the lingering question marks out of minicamp.
When you say that he fell awkwardly, was it more like his knee kind of almost banged up against the ground? Or, like, describe what awkward falling is, if you could.
Well, like I said, he went down to the ground in order to make the play. And I don't know. I mean, I guess it's just like, you know, a guy hits the ground and there was something about the way his body sort of contorted in the moment. And like I said, it was pretty, you know, it's pretty quick. You can tell a guy gets, you know, hits the ground and then immediately pops back up. We don't think about it twice, but it was obvious he was down. He was down there for an extra second. I don't know. It's almost like an instinctive thing, again, of just having watched these guys over and over and over over the years, just right. athletes in general. I mean, and so, yeah, it wasn't like, and again, you know, we're not watching this from a TV angle. There's no replays. You know, you don't necessarily know that it's going to be something significant, perhaps, as you're watching it. But it just looked like an awkward fall and that he just wasn't getting, you know, going to get up gracefully. That something had happened. And then, you know, as I said, it just looks worse just because of, you know, the taking him in the cart and all that stuff. So, you know, again, this is a guy who's been successful in his career, but unfortunately injuries have just constantly popped up. Last year's was maybe a bit fluky here where he gets his kidney injury in the Tennessee game and then knocks him out for the year. Glad that he's doing fine from that. But, you know, he's had the usual assortment of NFL injuries over the years, and that's kind of kept him from being, you know, a consistent presence for anybody in the league. And, you know, hopefully that's not the case here.
Ben Standing with us here on the Kevin Sheehan Show with Denton Day sitting in for Kevin here on the Team 980. Is Deebo Samuel fat, Ben?
Give me the outside perspective. I look at him and I don't, like, this is the first time we've seen, you know, I've seen him in person, and he's definitely not, like, you know, if Jaden Daniels is the definition of, like, a skinny frame, Deebo isn't that, but I guess I'm looking at my own gut and I don't look at Deebo and think, boy, the guy is fat.
I felt like I was insane on social media reading everyone call him fat. One of, like, Hogs Haven said that it was Deebo Lacy Sr. as if he had a clause in his contract to where he couldn't weigh 255 pounds like Eddie Lacy did in Green Bay. I don't think he's fat at all. I've been stunned by people thinking that they look at him and say, that guy's fat. I don't think he's that at all.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of like when this first quote-unquote controversy started and one of these, like, ridiculous aggregators who's just a complete moron tweets out, or he takes the video that somebody put of Deebo jogging on a play and acts like he's, like, being, you know, lollygagging out there when it's not that at all. You're not going full tilt on every OTA or minicamp practice. It's much more about getting a feel for where everybody is on the field, the communication, what's supposed to happen. It's not some hardcore getting ready to play the Cowboys or something. So that part was stupid. But then when it got to the weight part, I was like, I don't know what I'm looking at here. I don't quite understand what is happening. Because to me, the type of player that Deebo Samuel is, I talked to somebody about Jalen Lane today on my podcast, and Jalen Lane's, you know, 4'3", 4'4" guy. The body type kind of goes with that. He's not the biggest guy. You're getting him the ball in space and going from there. Deebo Samuel is a guy that you could line up in the backfield, right? And give him the ball from that perspective. Not like run between the tackles, but, like, he's got enough body to, like, he's going to deal out some punishment as well. His yards after the catch prowess is in part not just because he's running past guys, but he's running over guys and through tackles. So, like, I don't understand, like, how. Like, what do people think that type of guy is going to look like? So, yeah, I've been confused. I've been wondering myself, oh, am I just, like, so in the weeds here I don't even notice? Like, what is going on? So, yeah, I've been confused as well that this has been such a topic.
It has been, it's, like, been, if I had hair, I'd be pulling it out. I don't have hair, but if I did have hair, I would be pulling it out by reading some of the stuff that people are saying about him, literally based off of that one video. Outside of that, you know, you've been around the team for the past couple of days. What has been the feel around Deebo Samuel and what he's been bringing so far to the offseason?
Yeah, well, look, I mean, you know, since we've been out there, obviously Terry McLaurin has not been. And I think Deebo, even though he's the new guy, you know, he's acting, you know, I think he's in the role of, you know, elder statesman, so to speak, a guy who's been around the league who can, you know, help out, whether it's the Luke McCaffrey's or Jalen Lane's or on the other side, you know, putting in some extra work with Mike Sanders still after practice. You know, it seems to me he's done, you know, all the right things as best as I can tell. You know, you can see some of the ways he can be used. You know, he had one catch at one point during this whole process in the end zone. I forget which quarterback it was, but, you know, it was kind of like looking for somebody who threw a high ball over the middle in the end zone, and Debo is the one that went up and caught it. You know, I think, you know, there was another play this week that I thought, I don't know if it was the day you were out there or not, but that, like, if you were going to sort of quote-unquote like critique him, it was one where he caught, like, an underneath pass, and Kane Medrano, the sixth-round pick, was, like, the closest defender, and he just really, as soon as Debo got it, like, you know, knocked the ball away from Debo, went into the hands of one of the undrafted free agent defensive backs, and, you know, was a turnover, and everybody was kind of happy about that. Like, that's the type of player, like, hey, you know, you can't make that during the season. You got to secure the ball, and, you know, whatever. I mean, again, it's a rapid practice. So, for the most part, he's looked pretty good. I haven't had any issue with what I've seen. But, you know, when you get to training camp, everything's got to be tight, you know, tightened up a bit. That's fine. But right now, it's just not that critical to act like it's, you know, it's a big deal. And also with him, you know, the type of player he is, I said this on my podcast, this is a weird analogy, so bear with me, but like when Taylor Heinicke was here, he was not a guy you would watch in practice and go, boy, this guy is amazing, because so much of what he does is like this instinctive stuff with the ball or after the snap or drawing a play up in the dirt to just figure out, how do I manufacture something here? I kind of feel like Debo, to a degree, is sort of similar like that. The yards after the catch stuff only really works when you're trying to tackle the guy, right? And like, you're not, there's no tackling happening right now. So I don't think we're really going to get a full sense of what he does, maybe until preseason games or the actual games, but maybe at least in camp when there's a little more formal, you know, pads are out, things like that. So, I've been fine with Debo, and that's why, like I said, I was really kind of surprised at what this reaction was the other day.
Ben Standig with us here on the Kevin Sheehan Show with Dent Day sitting in for Kevin at Ben Standig on Twitter, where you can find him. What about with Laremy Tunsil? You know, wasn't at OTAs, showed up for minicamp. What did you think of him?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I doubt he is in his, you know, week one peak condition at the moment. He's, you know, getting back out there. And, you know, again, offensive line or the defensive line, you know, it's really hard to judge these guys at this time of year. No pads, you're really not doing much in terms of actual blocking and hitting and all that. So we'll see. But look, he, just watching him a little bit, you know, seeing him walk off the field with some of the younger linemen and you know, hearing him talk to them about, just hearing a couple conversations about, you know, his time in the league or how he, you know, works on a certain drill that they were doing. And, you know, so much of what is looked upon at this time of the year is that sort of that team bonding. And Dan Quinn talked yesterday about seeing the veterans talk to the young guys on their own about whatever, you know, so again, something specific on the field, how they're prepping off the field, or just even as, you know, one human to another, getting to know each other. And you know, it looks like Tunsil to me kind of filled into that role and started doing so nicely. We'll get a much better feel, of course, when we get out to training camp. But, you know, seeing Tunsil at left tackle with Brandon Coleman at left guard, if that's the way it plays out, you know, this is like, to go from that, or to go from, you know, back a few years ago when you were like, you know, Charles Leno was fine, but then you had like the Andrew Norwells out there. To go from like that to this is just, you know, the potential here is just so much higher. It really goes to show where this thing can go. So, you know, look, you know, the offensive line will get a better feel come training camp, but Laremy Tunsil, you know, so far so good. And, you know, they're definitely counting on him for sure.
They seem to also love Connerly. And I watched him on Tuesday, and I was like, he was doing well in the drills. Now, drills are just drills, but everyone seems to really love the first-round pick.
Yeah, you know, when it comes to who these guys are as people, again, I never assume I know anybody for sure, but, you know, this is 2 years in a row where they have drafted guys that, you know, seem to be, you know, the kind of kid you want to bring home to your mom, so to speak. You know, good, does the hard work, has talent, you know, does things the right way, fits in, you know, and he seems to be another guy like that. You know, he's 21 Some guys are 21 and they seem a little more mature. He's 21. It feels like he's 21. You know, there's a lot of kid in him when we're talking to him, and that's fine. I mean, it's what it's supposed to be. And, you know, you can see the raw ability. You know, I still think there's, you know, potentially a world where Andrew Wiley, you know, starts early just because he's been more established. And again, Connerly is super young, but by the same token, you know, the upside there is notable, and he could be the guy out of right tackle when it all starts, and eventually he'll be out there. I don't see him playing guard or anything. So, I mean, you know, I'm going to say sky's the limit, but, you know, it certainly looks like for a franchise that's had a lot of excellent tackles over the years, you know, it's possible he is, you know, the next in line in terms of a guy that they groom here from the start, the way they did with, you know, Trent Williams and Chris Samuel and, you know, Joe Jacoby, et cetera. So, again, I don't want to put him in that category. He hasn't played, doesn't done anything yet, but you know, that's the hope here. If he's able these first few years really become a presence at the right tackle, and then maybe he eventually moves to left, that would be such a great deal for this franchise. And, you know, again, at this point he's checked off the boxes, but now he's got to get to the next level when we get to later in the summer.
Ben Standing, our guest here on the Kevin Sheehan Show. You can find his podcast at Last Man Standing, wherever it is that you get your podcast. Denton Day sitting in for Kevin. Anybody stand out to you when you watch the defense this week?
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
On the defense, I mean, I think Trey Amos is overall, you know, the question of his, hey, you know, what does he look the part? You know, again, for me, that's so much of what these sessions are about. And I definitely think he looks the part. We talked to Joe Witt Jr. earlier in the offseason, and he, you know, discussed, you know, they brought in guys up front like Javon Kinlaw and Dietrich Wise with the sole purpose of getting bigger and longer on defense. But he extended that to say this is also why we went for Trey Amos, to have a guy who's got some good size and length, not to mention speed and coverage ability, you know, because – you know, look, Mikey Sanders still obviously did a really nice job last year on the outside, but he's also, you know, on the smaller end. You could see that in some of those matchups late in the postseason against like A.J. Brown, and that's a tough one for a guy like that. Amos will not have size issues for the most part against receivers. And look, Marshon Lattimore showed up this week. He seemed to be healthy. He seemed to be in a better place than he was last year when he admitted he was just playing through injuries, it was way too much and pressing and so on. But Trey Amos gives you a little bit of cover if Lattimore does have some issues. If Amos can, you know, keep this going and show he's ready to go week one. But to have Lattimore and Amos on the outside with Sanders still in the slot, perhaps, again, to make the comparison of a previous roster. Just a year ago, the group was Benjamin St. Juste, Manuel Forbes, and Mike Davis were your outside corners. You know, again, Emmanuel Forbes is looking fine early in camp in his rookie year. So, you know, it's a good cautionary tale, but you know, there's a lot to like about Amos. And, you know, I thought he did a pretty good job. And if you tell me he's the week one starter, that's not going to surprise me at all based on the little bit we've seen here so far.
Did they ramp up Kwan as the week went on? I know when I was there on Tuesday, he wasn't doing a ton of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I think he was doing a little bit, but I don't know that he was necessarily flying around too much. You know, he did, he had a couple off-season shoulder surgeries, so I don't get the sense that he's like limited. But you know, again, there's no real need to force anything if any guys are, you know, dealing with a little bit. And also, you know, like with anything else, you want to see as many guys as you can. You know what Kwan Martin can be, and Joe Witt thinks he can be, you know, one of the better safeties in the league. So, you know, they already see where the upside is. They want to get a feel for some of their other guys. You know, Joe Witt's talked about getting Jeremy Reeves on the field more defensively. We'll see how that goes. But, yeah, I don't think they're forcing Kwan. But, you know, this is a very interesting year, I think, for him because, you know, first of all, it feels like he's been here for way more than just 2 years. But secondly, you know, the first year he's obviously stuck on a team that ends up being terrible. Last year he was playing, as we find out later, playing injured for a chunk of the year. And now, you know, if he's healthy and ready to go, and, he could be one of the leaders of that secondary for sure, that defense overall. And, you know, where does this go for him? What can he really be? So I think it's a pretty interesting year for Kwan Martin, and there's no reason to think he's not going to continue to have an upward trajectory.
Gut feel here, Ben, before we pivot to basketball. Are we celebrating a Terry McLaurin extension before July 4th?
Before July when?
Before July 4th.
I'll guess no. Could something happen, you know, while you and I are talking? Sure. But I mean, if I had to guess, like, you know, actually, I don't know. July 4th, let's say the 13th, 14th. I guess maybe look, do I think he'll have a deal done before training camp? I mean, that would be my assumption. I get right now that there's some frustration on McLaurin's end. You know, hey, why do we even need to have too much of a discussion? Look what this guy has done. You know, over the entire time he's been with this team, now he finally gets a good quarterback, and he has, you know, 13 touchdown catches. You know, he had another few in the postseason. You know, he's always plays. He's a leader in the locker room, a leader in the community. What is not to like about McLaurin? Why are we even having this debate? And, you know, it feels like, you know, from what I can gather, the age conversation that he'll be 30 this year, and most of the top receivers in the league are under that. And, you know, do you want to give a guy a 3-year extension, you know, when he's going to be, you know, past 30, and it's, you know, there's no like definitive answer when receivers drop off, but you know, over 30 starts to get a little bit worrisome perhaps for some, but you know, I don't think McLaurin's side is going to agree to that, and they shouldn't necessarily. So, eventually I think something gets worked out, but you know, the age matter to me is the one that's really interesting, because if Washington just says, hey, look, we love the guy, but like, we just can't pay the same as you know, a much younger Brandon Ayuk or a younger DK Metcalf are getting. And he's, you know, his side will be like, well, he's more valuable than those guys. So what are we talking about? So unless that becomes a massive sticking point, I think they eventually get something done, whether that's July 4th or right before training camp, but something I would imagine gets done eventually.
NBA Finals tonight. Do the Pacers go up 3-1?
Well, I mean, you know, you and I were texting about this earlier. If the game could go either way, I just don't understand why people have been so stunned that the Pacers are playing well. People are acting like OKC was, this is a foregone conclusion. I understand that they won 68 regular season games, and you know that's wildly impressive from an all-time perspective, but this was a weird regular season. You know, the Thunder and the Cavs were two teams that just dominated despite having like no real players who have, you know, they didn't have a guy who you're looking at as like one of the top, you know, 30, 40 players of all time. They don't have guys who have been there, done that necessarily in this league in terms of the finals. So like the idea that this, the youngest team in the league, was just going to come in and roll over a Pacers team that made the conference finals a year ago, that has like a guy in Pascal Siakam who was a key player for a Toronto team that won the title, who has a head coach in Rick Carlisle, who's not only one of the better coaches of all time, but he's won a title in this league, whereas OKC is essentially also going with a very young coach. I just did not understand why this was happening. So I'm not stunned at all that Indiana's winning. I picked Indiana to win in six. Maybe they will, maybe they won't, but you know, I've been really blown away that people have been so shocked at what is happening. So, yeah, I think Indiana can absolutely win tonight. They've got depth. They've got numerous guys that can score. I think for OKC, somebody else has to step up besides Shea, and not just in like a, you know, Chet Holmgren or Jalen Williams gets points in like secondary offense or fast break. Like somebody needs to really like take control so Shea is not getting constantly, you know, pounded by defenders. He probably will regardless, but like somebody else has to step up for them. Otherwise, I can absolutely see Indiana. Especially in the fourth quarter, OKC has dominated the first three quarters.
Right.
Indiana is taking control in the end, and the end is, you know, especially in the NBA, that's what matters. So, you know, they need somebody in the fourth quarter who can really make plays on offense in particular and not just rely on SGA to have to kind of do everything.
And the Chet thing is so fascinating because if you just read box scores, you saw him have 20 in game three, but 15 of those came in the first quarter, and he was relatively absent the rest of the game. Like that just, you can't have that happening against a team like Indiana that is just about as deep as OKC is. I also picked him in six, Ben, for the record. I got a very good number at the books, so I'm hoping that Indiana wins in six. It's been fun, though. I think he, maybe people aren't watching as much because there are no big markets, but at the very least, the games have been fun and entertaining.
Oh, yeah. I think this is a really interesting matchup. I mean, you know, the other part of this is like everybody's saying OKC, every single aspect you would like give the plus to OKC. And maybe that's true to a degree. But the thing that people are overlooking is it's not that it's like dominant. It's like, okay, maybe they're, you know, SGA is better than any player on Indiana. That's fine. The OKC's perimeter defense is ridiculously good. Sure. But Indiana definitely has dudes. Nembhard has caused Brunson problems. He's causing some problems over here for some of their guards. You know, they've got plenty of guys who can defend. You know, the depth, OKC's depth is insane. Indiana's depth is nuts in this modern NBA. Denver had like four guys playing, you know. The Timberwolves' depth was inconsistent. Indiana's running out nine dudes who are playing well every game, and they got guys that can score. They're obviously, Haliburton is just an all-time clutch guy at this point. So, yeah, it's OKC may end up winning this series, and either way, they are set up to be a essentially really dominant team for several years.
Right.
But yeah, it's not. Indiana has a lot riding, has a lot going their way, and also like their home crowd. That's a real thing. I don't even know if home advantage means much anymore, but they have one there, I think, in Indianapolis.
I'll get you out of here with this. The next time you're at the facility is when? What's the next couple weeks look like for the Commanders?
Yeah, no, we're not there. I don't know the exact date yet, but like it's like, you know, somewhere around like July 20th, give or take, is when they'll report. And then, you know, then the fun begins and we start watching training camp. And so, yeah, we've got a ways to go. We won't see or talk to any of these guys for a while.
All right, Ben, enjoy your break and enjoy game four tonight.
I look forward to it, man. It was a pleasure, Denton. Thanks for the time.
That is Ben Standig joining us here on the Kevin Sheehan Show. Always a good time to catch up with Ben. And now we get about 5 weeks of a break for the Commanders before they are then in pads. The next time we will see them, we'll probably get like a day or two of just shells, and then we will see them in pads and hitting, and you'll get to see just how fast a guy like Debo is and how a guy like Ja'Cory Crooks-Merritt looks in pads and what Laremy Tunsil looks like in pads. I saw him in person this week, Max. He's a ginormous human being. He is just a massive, massive man. So I'm excited to see what he is going to look like. One real quick thing on the NBA. We will preview tonight's game to close the show, but one real quick thing on the NBA. My favorite thing to observe over the past couple of months has been the magnitude of people who have screamed both on television and social media about how much the regular season in the NBA sucks, and then use nothing but regular season statistics to prove why OKC is better than Indiana. It is the ultimate level of hypocrisy, and it's why I've been betting Indiana for the entirety of this series. Does that continue tonight? You'll find out in about 30 minutes, but coming up next, what Adam Schefter said about Terry McLaurin and his contract status. Don't go anywhere. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show with Denton Day.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.